Brenda, we got something that we gotta tell you, but we just can't talk, cause we got something to do. We've got this podcast, we've gotta tell you. It's kind of stupid. It's not tonight.
I'm not saying that.
Cool cats and kittens?
I'm not saying that. I wanted to, but then I stopped. Hey.
She says it very calmly, like, hey, all you cool cats and kittens?
That's a really good impersonation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is Not Tonight with Linda and Brenda.
This is a podcast. It's Not Tonight. This is a podcast about...
Well, just telling stories, man.
You could go to sleep if you wanna.
You can clean. You can vacuum with your headphones in. Your AirPods.
Your... Did you say air or ear?
Air.
Oh, I thought you said earbuds.
Your earbuds. Your earbuds.
Yeah. Just listen.
You can listen whenever you want, man. We're just going to talk in circles and ramble on, but we're also going to tell some stories along the way. Lately, we've been doing this Tiger King thing. We've been breaking it down.
Hey, if you listen to it while you're driving, It's one of those podcasts where when the GPS comes on, and talks over it, and you miss something,
you don't have to go back.
It doesn't matter.
That's a really good point. Yeah, you don't have to take that 15-minute.
You don't have to go
15
back.
15-second back
It
thing.
Didn't matter.
There are some podcasts that, like, I feel like I can't... Like, if I'm listening to something about, like, neuroscience or, like... And even, like, Invisibilia, even Serial, like, I feel like I can't miss a word. So Serial. If I miss Serial...
What's that?
You never saw that?
No.
For real?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Cereal, like, that you eat?
No. Like, cereal killer.
But it's just called
but
cereal?
But just cereal. Yeah. Hmm. The first episode's about that Adnan guy. Mm-mm. You never heard about that? Oh, man.
Al-Anon?
His first name's Adnan. I don't remember. Is Saeed, maybe?
Fact checking.
I can't give away anything. It's like a total cliffhanger thing the whole time. Don't Google it. Because it's like...
What? You're not allowed to Google it?
Yeah, you are, but like...
What?
It's like 4, 5, 6 years old. So if you Google it, you're going to find out stuff that you don't want to hear if you haven't listened to the podcast and you don't know about the case.
Oh, I thought you meant like you would get in trouble for Googling it, like by the internet bureau.
Ew, no. Ew. No.
I thought it was like... an ISIS thing.
No, heck no. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, our podcast.
That's a perfect example. You just go on and on.
Yeah, man. I mean, we're gonna get a song. Eventually we're gonna get a sound engineer. But until
Are we?
I mean, if we make it. Or maybe we'll just become our own sound engineers. Who knows? We'll just like learn
we
the
can
trade.
One.
I mean, we're in quarantine. What else we're gonna do.
That costs a lot of money, I think.
Yeah.
We should find someone that already has
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we don't really have equipment yet, but we did relocate for today. We tried out a smaller room. We've been reading about how to get a good sound quality when you don't have shit. So we've got, like, a little cuddly room set up in, like, probably one of the oldest
Is
rooms
this ship
in this
lap?
House. Yes, it's all shiplap.
It's all blue.
It's blue.
Faded blue. Oh, what?
It's like a turquoisey, like,
yeah.
Almost like Tiffany blue.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to tell you, Linda, I'm looking at her, and the sun is coming in through the window.
I
so
wanted
I can
to tell
see
you.
Your eyes really well.
Oh?
Your eyes, her eyes change. Like, Linda's eyes change colors. They go from, like, weird ranges, from, like, all the way from, like, gray to, like, a deep green sometimes, but they're, like, chameleons, because they're blending in. Your eyes are, like, the same color as this blue wall right
oh,
now.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I don't see them
I should
blue
take a
that
picture.
Often.
Whenever we stop recording, I'll take a picture.
Okay.
But, yeah, they're, like, matching the wall.
Wow.
Even match my eyes? What movie is that?
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. It's a good one. Anyway. So, yeah, thank you to people that have been listening.
Yeah. Because
cool.
Clearly we are looking at the numbers and, like, people are listening, so, hey.
And we've really done it in, like, backwards mode. Like, Instead of, like, actually planning and starting social media and, like, getting the website and promoting, before, we just started recording and then did all the rest. Pretty slow,
I was thinking about it. And really, it's perfect for being in quarantine because you can just binge all of them.
Good point. It's like Netflix for podcasts.
Well,
I mean, who knows? But we're doing a 7-part series right now, Linda.
I wouldn't compare it to a Netflix.
I mean, not yet. Hell no.
Hell no.
Not yet. But maybe eventually. Like, I have been researching equipment. Maybe with this stimulus check, we can get some effing equipment.
Oh my god. What if I bought a microphone and headphones?
I've been looking it up.
And it's that really was it. Like, I'm going to save the rest. But what if I just bought that? That's not that expensive.
It's not that bad from what I've been looking at. Okay. But, I mean, hey, guys, girls,
everybody. If we're going to do that, people need to start reviewing us.
Right. If you're listening and you have, first of all, if you have feedback or if you have tips or if you know about podcasting at all or podcast equipment, please, like, DM us. I'm going to say it's okay to DM us.
Yeah, DM us. On Instagram. That's fun.
On Instagram, we're what? Not Tonight Podcast.
Yeah.
On Twitter, we're Not Tonight Pod.
Yeah.
And what else? Our Gmail account is nottonightpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh my god, send us an email.
Email the shit out of us. I mean, we're in quarantine. I want to read some stuff.
I want to, yeah.
Let's read.
I want to read, like, stories from people. Like, just funny, random, doesn't have to be about anything stories. Like, you know, anything.
I want to read about
a story from your childhood.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
I love childhood stories.
We tell a lot of those, so I feel like that
fits. Tell us about your Enneagram.
Oh, yeah, I like Enneagram. I'm into astrology. If you want to talk astrology with me, come on with it.
Yeah.
I
like birds. If you want to talk about birds with me, just, this is Linda. You can just email us a picture of a bird.
Don't talk to Brenda about birds.
Talk to, if you're going to send
I like birds about too, birds, but that's Linda's gig.
Yeah, put in the subject for Linda.
Birds. I like history right now.
Oh, yeah,
so you want to talk about history or historical houses.
Ghost stories.
Really into that. Ghost stories, super into that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Just email us something.
Tell us all about it.
We'll read it and talk about it.
We want to know everything.
We're in quarantine.
But yeah, thank you for the feedback that we've gotten. It's been really nice and sweet. And, my scooter. My dear scooter. Scooter, the guy behind kind of a lot of our inspiration.
Is that his Instagram name?
His Instagram is, yeah, Dearest Scooter.
Oh, I thought it was my Dearest. Scoots. I was about to say that.
No, I didn't. No, that's just what I called him. Because I'm a dork. But, yeah, Scooter, thank you so much. He mentioned us last night in his Instagram Live. And that was really nice of him. He didn't have to do that, but we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, girl.
Hey, you make me so sleepy.
We love you, boyfriend. Bowfriend.
That was actually, was that last night that we were watching?
Yeah, the Color Coup game going on.
He was playing Connect Four.
That's what Linda kept calling it.
The first thing I said was, is this Sudoku? And I wasn't,
being a smartass.
I was trying to be funny, like I didn't know that it was
Scooter,
actually.
We were both talking to you and we were right across the room from one another. She was on Not Tonight and I was on my personal Instagram, but we were both like, just like going at it.
I really didn't think that it was Sudoku or whatever it's called, but it actually is.
We were just being a smarty pants.
Yeah,
but
it actually was.
With colors.
Yeah. It's so colorful.
I mean, yeah, that was a good Instagram Live.
Skits. Yeah, it was. It really was.
And thanks, man. And what's up with your boy, Craig?
I told Craig, because I mentioned him in the last podcast, and
what's his name?
Craig Conant. Craig.
I always forget his last name.
His Craig is Craig P. Conant, I think. That's his Instagram.
How do you spell his last name?
Conant. You want to know something?
What?
I'll say this first. I tagged him in our post on Instagram that I put all the references from last episode. because there were some good ones from, like, Almost Famous and Wailana, but I put it in a video of him and tagged him, and he liked it, so thanks for just being cool and responding. That's really cool of him. And I was gonna say, he has a podcast called Community Service with Craig Kuna, and it's pretty funny because he's like us. He just kind of forgets to talk. He's a slow processor.
Yes.
He, like, forgets to talk sometimes, and he'll just kind of sit there and... But he doesn't edit it out, so it makes me feel better. He had a Patreon. We were talking about Patreon. He had a Patreon, and I was paying for the Patreon until I was too broke to do it, and I had to unsubscribe. Sorry, but... I was paying, like, $10 a month, I think.
Get out. That's a lot.
No.
For all the extra content?
For extra content. And I got a bag of fucking merch.
What? I got you have a bumper sticker on your car.
I got a bunch of stickers and a pin and a shirt and a bag that I use.
I always think that bumper sticker is somebody else, and now I can't remember who. I'll have to go out there and look.
I just think he's so... funny cute.
But he's on, I didn't realize that that's the guy you were talking about. He's on Chatty Broads, which I also listen to, and I've heard him on there, and I'll be real, I haven't been keeping up with their episodes lately, but keeping up with those Kardashians, I just can't. But, no, I have heard him on their podcast, and I really liked him, and I thought he was hilarious, and I always, like, mistakenly assumed that he was one of their husbands or boyfriends or whatever. I didn't know who the hell he was, but he's fucking funny.
Yeah, he's fucking hot. He's like, too, dude. He has perfect teeth. Have you seen his teeth?
Somebody I would want to be friends with. No.
Wow. Well, you should. I'll put that'll be the reference picture for this episode. I'll put a picture of his teeth so you guys know what I'm talking about.
Come on our podcast, boy.
Yeah, I wish.
Well, fucking wish. Come on with it. Shimona. Right. Shimona.
Should we, like, start for real now?
Yeah, I mean... I should probably apologize. I talked about Jonestown.
I talked like dish
last night. Yeah, I definitely described the wrong town, the wrong massacre for like a good minute before I caught it on my, we kind of caught it. I was talking about the Jonestown massacre when I was trying to talk about Waco. So I know I did that. I'm sorry.
I would like to apologize for saying that I thought Waco was, I thought they were talking about, were they, why was it called Waco? Were they in Waco, Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Okay, because I just referred to, I just know it from Fixer Upper. But then I thought that their cult or whatever, because you made me think it.
Oh, no, it's not, the cult was not called Waco. I don't even know the name of the cult. Off the top of my head, it was something... I'm not even going to say anything because I'm going to mess it up. But it's not
Waco
Jonestown.
Was a shootout.
It's not the Brian Jonestown Massacre Band, which is a really good band. You want to talk about them? That's another story. But, no, and I said something about Kool-Aid and child assassins, and, yeah. The Kool-Aid was Jonestown. Heaven's Gate has nothing to do with this. Child assassins, I was referring to all the guns with the Waco situation, which was like a big-ass shootout, and let's just not talk about it anymore.
Okay, well.
Moving on.
Speaking of cults.
Yeah, speaking of cults.
This episode is called fucking the cult of...
Cult of Personalities. Which is a reference to a dumb song. But, yeah, talking about cults, talking it up. This episode's going to get a little bit culty.
You're going to want to call your dad because you're a cult.
Yeah, maybe call your dad.
Just call him. And then you need to call Karen in Georgia and thank them because we keep using their catchphrases.
I know, fuck. Sorry, God.
Just, we really like them.
We really like Karen in Georgia.
We like joke about them to each other.
We make references
usually,
to them all the time. I'm sure Murderinos can understand.
Yeah, but they probably think that we're trying to be
but like
in Georgia.
Murderinos say the same shit to each other as jokes all the time. Like,
I mean,
Marty,
we're not trying to steal it.
Marty. We're just giving you guys gals love. We just love you.
Okay. This episode is real culty.
Yeah. Who's gonna kick it off? Actually, you have to kick it off because I was making breakfast for the first 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, we start out with a 911 call from 2013, and you hear Joe saying, "The arm is completely gone."
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah. And then we see that girl Saf laying on the ground, and her arm is just fucking gone. And this is how the episode starts. And I had to pause it because I was like, hold on. Because I didn't notice the first time I watched it, the first time I watched the second episode, that her arm was gone the whole time that she was talking.
No, I didn't either. Not at all.
Until her arm got ripped off. And then I noticed it. I was like, wow, I wonder how they hit it in the beginning.
They
and
didn't.
Then I watched it again, and they didn't.
We just didn't notice it.
Yeah. So her arm is fucking gone. But she's, like, awake, and she's, like,
she's, aware. Like, alert. It's not as, like, scary as I thought it was going to be.
She must have been in shock, because can you imagine?
Oh, I'm sure.
I would...
I wouldn't even want to imagine, but...
If I knew my arm was gone, I would be...
I would
pass out.
That time I got in a car accident, and thank goodness it wasn't that bad, knock on wood. But I totaled my car that one time. I got like T-boned. Was that what you call it? T-boned?
Yeah.
And then I ran my car into a ditch, into a tree.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Thankfully, it had airbags. It actually wasn't even my car. It was my brother's, Booker's. Thank God, because my car at the time was getting fixed, but my car at the time was so old that it didn't have airbags. It was like that little Gloria was her name.
Gloria.
D-L-R-A. Yeah, that's why I named her that. But yeah, she didn't have airbags, but she was getting fixed. So I was driving Booker's. Anyway, I totaled it, blah, blah, blah. I got out. I had no idea that anything was wrong. I immediately, like, the cops were called pretty fast. Like, I called, the first thing I did, I got out of the car, I called my boss. People were, like, trying to come to me and ask if I was okay, like, people, like, bystanders and shit. And, I was like, I'm calling my boss, guys. So, like, so casually, like, I called my boss on the side of the road and, told him I was gonna be late because I got in a car accident. And then he was like, you should call so-and-so, who's, like, right up the road, the office nearby. So I called her. She came straight down. She came down and was like, what the fuck? But I probably looked like a zombie walking through the middle of the road because I didn't realize this at the time. But I had, like, crazy, like, seatbelt rash across my chest anyway, so that was bleeding. But then I also had glass from the windshield because the windshield, like, totally shattered. I had glass, like, stuck all in my chest.
Oh, my God.
And in my legs. And I was wearing, it was summertime. I was wearing, like, a summer dress. And my dress... it was, like, spaghetti strapped. Yeah. It had, broken. So, like, a strap was falling down.
Wow.
Nothing was showing, but, like, I had a strap off, and I was bleeding, and I was just, like, walking around like nothing was wrong, and my coworker, I wish I could say her name, she hooked me up. She had a safety pin, like, on her and, like, strapped my shirt, my dress back on, and then the ambulance came anyway, and, like, they were like, you need to go to the
fucking ambulance.
And they started, like, checking me out and, like, looking at my hands and stuff. And, like, I had a fucking broken finger, but I didn't feel shit. And all I had was a broken finger. I was, like, being rude to the ambulance people. I was like, I don't need to go anywhere. I am fucking fine. One of them finally was like, look down. Look at yourself. Mm-hmm. And, like, once I looked down, like, saw all the glass and stuff in my chest, I finally, like, kind of realized, like,
it was stuck in your chest.
My finger kind of hurts.
Yeah, your finger will start to hurt.
Yeah, they hadn't pulled it out yet. Like, they hadn't cleaned me up yet because I was refusing to get in the fucking ambulance. Mm-hmm. Because I was refusing that anything was wrong. I didn't feel anything. I would
have
just
been refusing it because of the, you have to fucking pay for it.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I, like, literally was, like, in shock. I thought nothing was wrong. Like, I knew I got in a car accident, but I didn't think, I thought I was totally fine. I was more concerned about Booker's car,
mm-hmm.
and being late to work.
Yeah, duh.
I just, like, went into, like, a weird, which normally I'm never like that. Normally I'm never worried about being late to work. I guess I was new on the job.
When you were, like, wrecking, were you, like, because when I was wrecking one time, the only time, knock on wood, that I wrecked, I thought I was gonna get nailed by a big truck. I thought I was gonna get hit, I just tensed up and was like just prepping to get hit because I just knew I was gonna get hit, but I didn't.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like, were you like aware of like,
yeah,
what was happening.
Yeah, it, I mean, I didn't realize that they were coming around the corner really hot in a van.
Yeah, that's what happened to me too. Someone was coming around the corner.
And it was, it's a hard, there's a lot of trees and like shrubs and stuff. It's kind of hard to see that corner anyway. And I was trying to turn left. But like, if you're not paying attention and you don't, or what I was paying attention, but I didn't realize that they were speeding. So like, I thought, I didn't really see them, to be honest. But then by the time I did see them, I was already like kind of starting to turn, and they were just going a lot faster than I expected. So I was lucky because they almost like hit me head on. Mm-hmm. But I could tell that I was gonna get hit. So I tried to like, I tried to basically veer kind of away from them, if that makes sense. And then I ended up driving my car into a ditch and totally hitting a tree. But I was going slow. So the people on the scene told me, like, if I actually, like, had let them, like, hit me full, like, high impact or whatever, like, it would have been worse. Like, I could have, like, flipped the car or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I kind of drove and I got T-boned for sure, like, the right passenger side got hit, like, crushed, but my airbag went off, and I went to the ditch, and I got out okay, like, I wasn't, like, stuck or anything, but yeah, I definitely, it was like a flash, like, fuck, this is fucking happening, let me brace myself kind of thing.
That's really scary.
Yeah.
I don't like thinking about it.
Well, let's move on.
Well, the whole thing was, imagine getting your arm bit off.
God, yeah. That's like chump change compared to getting your arm bit off.
I would die.
I don't want to think about it.
I don't know. And she...
I don't want to talk about it.
She went to work 5 days after... She ended up getting... What happened?
I made a note of that, like her resiliency.
Her arm's ripped off. Joe goes into the gift shop and tells everyone that an employee got their arm torn off. He just says,
"Oh my gosh!" And
kind of sent them
like
home.
A whole gift shop of people,
like shopping.
He like, "Hey, what's up?" Somebody.
An employee just
arm.
Got their arm torn. Set their arm in
We're
the cage and they got torn off.
We're closing the pool.
Maybe
for today.
Come back another day.
And then he goes and puts on that jacket.
Yeah. What I was so confused about why he was wearing that jacket, and he was talking to police.
He was
and it
smoking
seemed like
a
they
cigarette.
Were, like, not
he,
they didn't care.
He changed outfits, is what he did.
I know. Where did he get it?
In his closet. He probably just had it on deck.
What was it?
It was like a badass bomber jacket that said EMS, like emblem, like looked like hand sewn, like into the back of it, like a bomber ass bomb jacket.
Well.
But it's just funny and stupid, kind of tragic that he took the time to go put that jacket on, and then he just lit a cigarette and was looking at everybody else doing shit while
he was so
her
panicked.
Arm was getting...
It reminded me again of our grandmother.
Again, I think that Joe has some anxiety.
Yeah.
I think he's got some... he's... tense person.
Mm-hmm.
I think he gets frantic.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't always know how to properly handle situations.
Are you describing Joe Exotic or a grandmother?
I don't know. And I think I might be describing myself. So, who knows? I'll get back to you on that. But yeah, so he gets the EMS jacket and then she comes right back to work.
Did you write a note about when he said he was just smoking a cigarette probably and said that he was never going to financially recover from this?
No, but the first time I watched it, that part, I did take note mentally of that part, and it pissed me off. Like, that's the first thing he thought of. It reminded me of Moira from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Totally the most selfish thing you could say in that moment. Like, somebody got their arm ripped off. Somebody that works for you.
Someone got their
your
arm
friend,
ripped off.
Your friend got... their arm ripped off.
Ripped off by a tiger.
And you're never going to financially fucking recover?
Can you imagine,
go
like, the
fly
tiger...
fly a kite.
Go fly a kite, Brenda.
Go kick rocks.
Can you imagine a tiger running off with it, though?
I don't want
to
think about
like,
that.
Like, what do you think happened to it?
Nope.
All right, so she goes back to work. after 5 days. She ends up, the doctor said that she could, it would take 2 years of, like, I guess she lost her arm, but her hand was still functioning.
Yeah, that part was a little...
It was a little bit confusing.
I didn't watch
She said that the doctor said that it would be, that someone handed her a pen and she wrote her name, so her hand was, like, working, but she didn't have an arm because she said that the doctor said that it would take 2 years of reconstructive surgery or she could just
amputate. Oh, right. So she was like, fuck it, mask off.
So then it cuts to the manager, Rinky. What's his first name?
John?
Yeah.
Joe?
John.
Rinky? I call him Rinky.
He lost his legs.
That was my next note.
In a ziplining accident.
Oh, that part, too. It's very descriptive when he's talking about walking around on his bones.
No, that was very confusing to me. I was confused. He was talking about his feet, so if he got his feet amputated, where are his legs? He wasn't talking about his legs.
He didn't get his... I don't think he got the bottom part of his legs amputated until later.
Why?
It's kind of... I don't get it. I only watched it that first time.
He said that he was paralyzed from the waist down, but he didn't mention anything about, like, his legs being crushed. He just said that his feet were fucked.
Well, he's got these sweet-ass fake legs now, and he's rocking them.
They're tatted up.
They're like the... They look like the runner-type ones. They're like blades.
Did you have any other notes about him?
I just said Rinky loses his legs. The resiliency of these people, man. Like, these guys that work for Joe Exotic, I think I admire in a way. Like, Saf was like... I felt like the best thing to do was just get back to work because I didn't want it to look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but we're talking cults of personalities. That's what the episode's called. So does that just prove that she's in a cult? Call her dad? Or is she just honoring and, like, really respecting whatever her job and who she works for?
I think she seems like she's doing that.
She always seems authentic to me.
Yeah, I like her. She doesn't seem like she has...
Same with Rinky. He always seems authentic. And the way he was describing his accident, like, he doesn't feel sorry for himself. And that, again, like, I admire that. Like, it must take such inner strength to lose your freaking legs. And still, like, not only just carry on, like, live your life, but work 14-hour shifts. Yeah. Yeah. For $120 a day or a week.
A week.
And, like, take care of tigers.
I mean, that part's kind of cool, but it's dangerous, you know?
Like, it's not like he has a low-maintenance job. He has no desk job.
Yeah.
He works with tigers.
But is it essential?
He's also, I feel like a thrill seeker. But I like it.
I can relate. I think he has a little bit of a lack of... A weird... sense of judgment.
Who?
Rinky. Because he likes
Joe. He strikes me as, like, the... Him and Saf both strike me as, like, the,
He defends honest, Joe a lot.
But, like, the honest type. Like, I don't think they're bullshitting us. I think they're just telling it like it is.
I think they go a little bit overboard with their hate for that woman.
Rinky doesn't say much about it. He was on those episodes, though. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
he was sitting right there.
To be in the background, you know?
Yeah, he was tolerable.
But I guess he just couldn't reel him in.
Would you want to try to reel him in?
No, but I also wouldn't want
to put up with that shit, yeah. I wouldn't listen to that.
I wouldn't want to be on camera next to him while he's...
Yeah, I probably wouldn't want to be around him when he's tweaking.
Tweaking is what it is.
Probably that has something to do with it. Maybe, allegedly. Okay. My next note is fucking Doc, and I want to take a break before I get to him, because I hate him.
Okay.
I hate you, Doc.
I had something to say.
Oh, good.
Not about Doc. Did you stop recording?
No.
Hunter S. Thompson was talking again.
Oh, okay.
And I liked this part. He was, because it seemed cool, okay? It seemed cool to me. He was talking about the addicting feeling of power from being around these animals. And, like, they showed a clip of him, like, in the tiger cage or whatever. And they showed him when he came out and he had, like, a deep cut on his neck. I was like, you know what? Like, that seems kind of fun to me. Like, I understand the appeal, too.
It's a little bit, Frankie is a cutter.
It is.
Oh, my God.
It's from a tiger.
I just realized who he reminds me of.
Who?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Frankie is a cutter.
Alright. Take us on a break. I'm writing that down.
Alright. Billy Bob, we'll be back. What's up?
Let's get back into it. We cut back to Doc Antle on his dumbass elephant.
Oh my god, the elephant. This is why I needed a break.
He pulls up on the elephant.
Because he's riding around this elephant.
Just talking.
On this elephant in his neighborhood, which is like a subdivision. And then he's in like this like neighborhood community lake. Neighbors are like passing on their pontoon boats. And he's with a fucking elephant.
In the water.
And he's being... I think he is the opposite of authentic. He's like the most inauthentic. Or he has like some weird... complex, like, inferiority or something. Like, why on earth are you riding around on an elephant in your neighborhood?
Because you want people to look at you.
Exactly. That's exactly why I hate him so much. I mean, I guess they all want people to look at them, let's be real. But his particular brand just gets under my skin.
I liked when he... and by I liked it, I mean I didn't like it. But I liked when he said,
Oh, no.
He starts talking about nothing is cooler, sexier, or more significant in the world we live in today than a tiger.
I wrote the same exact quote in my notes. Yeah,
what the fuck? Yeah. That's what I wrote. Look at my notes. After I read that quote, I wrote, what the fuck?
I just quoted it. And then, isn't that when he was, like, on a couch with a bunch of freaking little cubs?
Yeah.
Yuck.
And he was dead-ass serious. Nothing is cooler, sexier, or more significant in the world we live in today than a tiger.
That is a very good impression. He's so sure of himself. The way he talks gets...
He's very amped.
He's amped, and he's short, and he's, like... He looks like he's full of rage to me.
Yeah,
which I hate. Anyway, it's all for show. We'll get to that. But it's all for show, because immediately, like, as soon as the camera stops rolling, he switches. Like, it goes into a different level of dickhead. Like, you know? Like, when he knows the cameras are not rolling, he, like, changes personalities, and I hate that. I hate it.
Did you catch when he said, anyone who says they don't love tigers is just insecure and broken?
No. I missed that. But what the...
What?
Who? What?
He said, anyone who says they don't love tigers is just insecure and broken.
Wow, but that's the type of girls he looks for.
Yeah, well.
So what's up with that?
He likes it.
Because his girls take care of the tigers.
And they get paid, what did that girl say?
$100 a week.
A week.
That's coming in my notes. My next note is, Joe says... They're only an hour old. Oh my gosh. They like cut to Joe Exotic and he
said that.
He's like has these cubs, like two or three cubs in his hands, and he's like showing them to a crowd and he says he's like bragging. He says, yeah, they're only an hour old. Oh. I really want to fact check all those numbers that he spits out because I don't believe that they're only an hour old. They were definitely little cubs, but an hour old, really? Let's be real.
I mean, they probably do maybe. Come out looking like that.
They did say, like, they take him away from their mom, like, right away, don't they?
Yeah, we'll get to that in another episode.
It makes me depressed. Joe sells to animal parks. That part is confusing to me because he sells, like, the older tigers to animal parks, apparently. But it's also illegal to sell tigers and big cats. So how is that happening?
No, I think it was all shady because the husband, John
Finley. Yeah, he said he drove lions and tigers and bears.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. Oh my. He said that he drove lions, tigers, bears to 38 and different ligers. States to sell them. Ligers. And it's only $2,000 for a baby tiger.
I saw that too. I thought that was surprising. You can get dogs for more than that.
If I just save my money for a while, I'll just get a fucking tiger.
If you get, like, legal, purebred certain type of dog, they're, like, $4,000.
Yeah. A tiger's only $2,000?
Well, that just maybe tells you how shady the biz is.
I mean, I know.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't actually. But, I mean...
I wrote that too. You could. Like, what?
Okay.
I could technically afford a baby tiger with my stimulus check.
put ours together.
I wouldn't ever want one.
I mean, no, but just think about it.
I mean, what we could technically afford it. Somebody's here.
That's scary. Who do you think it is?
It's Oscar.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Oscar. Okay. Anyway, so my next thing is Mario.
Hold on, before Mario, that guy, Tim Stark, the guy that has the monkey in his lap, that talks in between sometimes.
I forget him.
He's the guy that, he's wearing, I think he might be wearing a weird hat, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But he's got this little monkey in his lap.
Okay.
He's the one that later in the episode says something about, like, he was talking to Doc Antle and was like, I don't give a fuck about how you train these animals, how do you have
this. Oh, God, that guy, what's his name?
Monkey, Tim Stark.
Yeah, I don't care for him. What did he say?
Sorry, guys, a stink bug was trying to ruin my life, so.
Linda's afraid of stink bugs.
He was talking about how tigers being endangered is the fact that they're breeding tigers it's a good thing because they're endangered, so it's a good thing that they're breeding
more. Oh, yeah, but not really because they're in captivity their entire lives and they can't ever live in the wild, so what the...
Right.
He's just a dumbass. I don't... yeah, he did try to make a point, but whatever.
Just for people who might have agreed with him.
Well...
You're not our listeners.
Bye.
Okay, so Mario.
Okay, is he really based on Scarface?
What was your first impression of Mario?
Do you want me to tell you for real?
I'll say it first if you want me to.
All right.
I like him.
He didn't strike me as... Compared to those other freaks...
He's endearing to me.
He was kind of a breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, I know he technically...
Love his accent.
He just seemed normal. He was wearing, like, dad sweatpants, dad hoodies.
Mm-hmm.
He looked just like a pretty chill dad to me. I mean, yeah, he was telling some fucked up stories, but...
But when he was talking about the come up, like, when he started making money and just started buying animals, and mm-hmm. he said that, first he got Great Danes, and then...
Oh, yeah, as a fuck you to his mom.
Yeah.
They all have weird things with pets as kids.
I like this guy.
He said that his mom was super anti-pets, so when he moved out... On his own, he got 3 Great Danes to spite her.
And then after that, he got a fucking jaguar.
And then he got some, he got tigers?
He got 6 lions that killed some dude.
Oh, they killed some dude and he got the tigers afterwards. Then.
He's a guy who is, who we're talking about, he's from Miami. He was a drug dealer.
They say in the... story that he was like a drug kingpin, whatever, and he was like, the story Scarface was like loosely based on his life. Like, he was like a big timer. And he did go to jail for 12 years.
That can't be true. Scarface came out in like 75.
Yeah, he's pretty old.
Is he? I mean,
yeah.
I think he's pretty, really?
Yeah, and they showed like the newspaper clippings, about him, like, so he got sentenced to 100 years. To, like, anybody that's seen the movie Scarface, that totally forked up scene where the dude gets, like,
oh my God.
Sawed up, like, with a freaking, what do you call it? The
that circular circle. Saw.
Yeah. He mentions that.
He does.
He said that he was there for that. He said, no, I didn't do it, but it doesn't matter because I was still there.
He said he didn't shoot him or use a circular saw on his neck, but he was still there.
So he did his time. And
that's
he
what
appealed.
He said. He said, I did time for what I did.
And which turns out to be 12 years.
Not bad.
Yeah, I would say so for decapitating somebody.
He was there.
Or just...
Allegedly.
Yeah, but if he was Scarface...
I don't know.
And it was an informant?
He is Cuban.
Anyway, and so is his wife.
I like her a lot.
Yeah.
Her and her little monkeys.
Out of everybody, they seemed almost the most regular.
She was fine. She was totally fine. She had a baby monkey. Okay. Did she have more clothes than our niece? Yes.
Did she say she loves the monkeys more than her children?
Yes. Do I like her?
Yes. Also, the part where he says, he's like spitting off all these like ways he got lions. And he said he did get a tiger from a lady that had it in a houseboat illegally. She had it in a houseboat.
That's good.
A lady had a tiger in a houseboat. So we got that one. Anyway, back to fucking Doc Antle.
I want a monkey so bad.
Yeah, Mario has a bunch of monkeys.
Dude. Oh, so Mario and Doc Antle know each other.
Oh, they're bros. The wife says that she's, like, going through the house showing them stuff, and the wife says that Doc Antle had this book. She was, like, showing pictures from the book, and she called him, like, doctor or something, and the producer asked, what is he a doctor of, and she said mystical science.
Mystical science.
That was weird.
I wrote that, too. What the fuck?
Then they go into asking about how many wives Doc Antle has.
He has 3, officially.
I liked it when,
Cowie?
Your boy, Craig Cowie.
Craig Cowie, yeah.
Evan Dando said, somebody asked him, they were, like, cutting back and forth, like, all these people, how many wives? And everybody was, like, giving their numbers, and they were saying different numbers, like, some said 9, some said 4. Then they cut to Cowie.
And they ask him,
how many wives did Doc Antle have? And he said, I don't fucking care. That was awesome.
He's the best part. He's a strong contender for my favorite character.
Yeah.
Right now, it's between him, John Finley, John. And I like Mario. Sorry. Mm. I like Mario. I like his life. He looks like he's well off. I like his animals. I like his story.
Super sketchy, though.
He scares me.
Super sketchy. Like, his premises are not
definitely
public.
Right. I think he's still doing...
He's in a lot of different trades,
I think. He is. I don't really care.
I know.
He's my favorite tiger person so far.
I like the way you're holding your fingers.
I'm holding out 3 fingers because there's only 3 that I like. Cowie's a strong contender. Then... cuts to we're in Iowa talking to this girl Barbara, who was an apprentice. From 1999 to 2007.
Her story I thought was very interesting, and I wrote that she's like describing that all Doc's apprentices, they're like all basically teenage girls. They're teenage girls that are like essentially running away from home, and it reminded me of the Manson family. Like, and how he changes their names, like, immediately. Like, Charlie Manson did. He, like, wants them to forget their identity. And there's one part for, like, a couple minutes further, she says, like, I wanted somebody to tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. And well, luckily, this chick, Barbara, like, realized how fucked up it was after. But she was,
but she
in,
was
it
in it
for like,
7, time.
8 years. And she had, a legal name change. Her name was Bala.
Bala?
Bala. B-A-L-A.
Bala?
Yeah.
Bala.
Bala. And she got, I thought this part was brutal. She said, like, they were talking about, like, the clothes that he makes them wear. First of all, can we cut back to the part where she says they lived in horse stalls? Full of cockroaches?
Full of cockroaches. It's gross.
And they had, like, no supplies, no nothing. They had to work 12-hour shifts, 6 days a week.
Can we talk about how Bhagavan means Lord?
Ugh.
You're in a cult.
Call your fucking dad.
Yeah.
Well, her dad did say, don't sleep with your boss.
Yeah.
And he dropped her off.
Yeah. Sounded like the dad knew that she was going into a cult, so maybe call your mom.
Call somebody. Linda.
Call somebody, because you are in a cult.
Cut to her, like... him dressing her up like a little Barbie doll and her, like, saying that he, chooses their names, he chooses their outfits, he chooses everything that they do, like, controls everything they do, every aspect of their life.
What they eat, because they're vegetarian.
They eat, full of cockroaches, cockroach sandwiches. you can sleep with him if you want to get higher up faster, but,
ew!
And then this was the saddest part. She, like, says... I don't remember ever consenting to a boob job, but honestly, like, she's like, I felt like they just, like, kind of did it, like, they made the appointments for me.
That's
like,
a lot of money.
Signed the papers for me, and la-di-da.
I would rather them just give me that money.
But you know what she said?
She liked to sleep.
She wanted those couple of days off work.
To sleep.
She would rather get a boob job than go to work. She wanted to, like, have 2 to 3 days to sleep and rest because she never got a minute off. It was a true cult.
Yeah.
Like, a true cult. Those girls work like slaves for him.
He would take their virginities?
Yeah.
She said?
Yeah, she said he only wanted, like, virgins or virgin almost.
So, whatever the fuck that Doc means. Doc is fucked up.
Super. And then, ew, each wife has her own house. Don't believe that.
I think he
was just driving through the neighborhood on his fucking elephant, and he was just pointing at neighbors' houses and saying bullshit.
Okay, that's what I think too, because all those houses were a pretty good size. Mm-hmm. They were all big. So you're telling me you don't pay them more than $100 a week? It takes up a whole block. Yeah, come on.
How rich are you, Doc?
In Myrtle Beach, like, relax.
Let's be real. He was just naming off random neighbors' houses.
Yeah, for sure.
Ew. He says, certainly, and oh, I thought the part where, hold on, let me go back. Barbara says that she thought she was going to be a yoga animal trainer.
Yeah, I thought that was bullshit. What does that even mean?
Well, I don't know. I think she was just lost.
I liked her dog.
Her dog. She had a really cute English setter that, like, lays on her lap.
It was really
like
big.
Like Leroy does.
Yeah,
it was really cute. He's really cute. And then it cuts to Doc's son, who I thought... his take was interesting. They were, like, asking, like, what Bhagavan means. And his son said, certainly in his universe, he is that character. When they asked him if, his dad was truly, like, Bhagavan God, he said, certainly in his universe, he is that character.
Okay.
And he was kind of smirking.
So he knows what's up.
I think he knows what's up.
His dad sucks.
Yeah. Super sucks.
Joe says that Doc is his fucking mentor.
Ew. And Doc says, I'll make you great.
Yeah.
Barbara says that they're pieces of shit. He, like, tells the girls that they're pieces of shit, but he can make them great. Ew. And they cut to all these weird references, like, Procty shit. Whatever. Anyway, what did Joe say?
Thought he was his mentor.
Ew. It's like a classic cult playbook to me.
So they both suck. Joe, I'm going on the record. Joe Exotic sucks.
Yeah, he does.
I know that sometimes it sounds like I like him. I like sometimes his jackets.
He's kind of funny. I like his sense of style sometimes. Yeah. And I actually kind of like his music. But
I like his music.
And I like his husbands.
I like his husbands.
I'll go on the record saying I like all of his husbands. Every last one. Not the first two that are not on the, they're not on the show, though.
He is in this episode. Let's get into it. We meet Travis.
No. I love fucking Travis.
Travis.
No, off the record, Joe, as it turns out, had, like, two husbands before.
Oh, okay.
And one was, like, a sex offender, and one was, like, a con man.
Oh.
Ew. No, I don't have anything to do with those guys, but I do like John Finlay, and we'll get... Are we getting to Travis?
Yeah, it's time to meet Travis.
That's my notes. I had to point out...
John Finley, Joe's singing again,
mm-hmm.
And in the video, John Finley is in the video, and he's got Joe's name tattooed on him in three different places on his body, including right above his crotch.
I saw that, obviously. It says privately owned?
Something like that.
Exclusive. By Joe, it says privately something owned by Joe Exotic. Then he has one on his bicep.
Then he has one on his fucking, like, chest or neck or something.
What did it say?
Joe.
Oh, wow.
Three.
Well, homeboy definitely likes some tattoos.
I like him.
And I could definitely see him just being like, fuck it, give me one.
All right, well, then we meet Travis. What's your first impression of Travis?
Oh, so cute.
What I wrote. I wrote, so cute, love him. He's 19 when he comes to the park. So cute, love him.
I wrote, so cute. John describes him as a little innocent person.
He is.
He just has, like, this look in his eye that's a little, like, cute and clever and witty and just...
He looks
maybe
so
kind of
cute.
Spunky.
Yeah,
he's really spunky. Handsome. Let's talk about that. He's super
handsome.
They said
that he's 6'6".
He's tall, dark, and handsome.
Big hands, they said.
They cut straight to, like, big hands, big feet, whatever. And then Joe describes him as tall, tan, and beautiful, which I would say the same thing.
He is.
He's tall, tan, and beautiful.
He is so beautiful.
Ugh, yeah, I would have a crush on him if he, like, went to my high school.
He is straight.
We'll see. It turns out it gets
weird.
They get weird.
Married in 2014. So it's like a three-way marriage.
I wrote, how, before that, how did Travis get to that ranch? And I Googled it today. Because, like, it's curious to me. That. He's from California.
They said that he came when he was
19. How did a 19-year-old, like, good-looking, fucking athletic-looking dude...
Probably just looking for jobs to work for tiger places.
Well, from what I Googled, and they do mention it in this episode, he was already addicted to meth.
He was already?
Yeah, and somebody from...
This is a spoiler alert, then.
No, they mention it, I believe.
No, they don't. Not in this episode. They don't mention that until later on.
Fuck. Sorry, guys. Well, that's just from a Google report. I like Googled it today and read it on the tabloids. It could be fake. Anyway. they cut to, like, him talking into the camera with, like, that little Cub Scout-looking shirt on.
That was weird, but...
It looked uncomfortable. He looked uncomfortable.
He looked really sad.
But he also looked like he was grinding his teeth. Like, he had that little meth mouth thing going on.
Well, he looked really sad.
Looked like he wasn't comfortable in front of the camera.
He wasn't.
And he was kind of, like, being fed lines.
I love him.
Then, yeah, they get married with the three pink shirts.
It was a really cute wedding.
So all three of them, Joe, John, and Travis, have this little banquet wedding, and they're wearing hot pink colored shirts, and they all look really happy.
Yeah, they do. They're all eating cake together. It's really cute. I'm really, I like it. It was good content to watch.
I said, is this real, or what amount of drugs do you have to be on to do this?
To do what?
To marry two dudes that you just met 1 month ago. Travis was only there for 1 month.
Oh, I mean, that's why... It's not a spoiler alert, because if you're smart, you already figured they're on drugs.
I was already putting that together. Like, what type of shit is going down? Like, are these guys really doing this, like...
You have to be on
with their own full heart, or, like, are they doing some other shit on the side?
Yeah. I wanted to point out that girl, Moksha, whatever the fuck her name is, back at Doc's little farm place, she says that she works from 8 a.m. to midnight every day.
Yeah. Sounded... No, wait. She looked brainwashed.
She was pretty.
Very pretty, but her eyes, like, the way she was talking, she had that, like, blank stare kind of look about her.
Yeah. She's in a cult.
Call her dad. Somebody.
Man. All right, Carol fucking Baskin has 76 or something volunteers. They get paid at all.
Yeah.
6 days a week, 12-hour days.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So, I took some notes on that. That, in my opinion, all these groups of people that are helping at these places are getting brainwashed in their own different way. So, like, Doc is brainwashing the women. And Joe is brainwashing the drug addicts, and Carol is brainwashing the weird ass volunteers.
Yeah.
Like, programmed. Oh, that bird guy? The bird guy says, and he works for Carol, we're programmed to believe we need weekends off and only 40 hours a week of work. He said we're programmed to believe that, but actually we can work way more. What the fuck?
Well, they don't get Christmas off.
They don't... Yeah, Doc pays $100 a week. Carol's workers work for free. They have color-coded shirts. They have to go through, like, several phases of...
Like, 5 years worth.
5 years.
Of being a volunteer.
To even be acknowledged by her. She goes on record saying that.
To even be acknowledged, yeah.
And the intern... I made a note about the intern. Interns work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. You said that.
Yeah.
For free. For nothing. For to be nothing. An intern.
So what do they... Where do they live?
I wonder that, because they don't say it.
Well, that's a lot of work. They're just trying to talk Carol up. And she's got over 2 million fans on Facebook. I'm trying to promote like she is.
I got news. That video sucked. Her music video sucked.
The video of her, that lady
living
singing.
Beautiful, wild, and free.
Sucked. I wrote cut to some chick singing like Annie DeFranco.
I knew you were gonna say that. You were gonna say that.
Beautiful, wild, and free.
No, she was 10,000 times worse. I know that like Linda's impression of Annie DeFranco sounds like a little bit, but no, this chick's.
Her video sucked, but
was it great?
Carol gets checks from Facebook, so.
True that. What's up with that?
I didn't know that you could get checks from Facebook. I need a
she
lot
She said
more
she got $23,000.
Like hey, like us on Facebook, Not Tonight Podcast.
Hey, what's up?
I'm trying to get to 2 million.
Her email signature, I might have cut ahead.
Oh, good one. No, you're right on track.
Carol's email signature is judge me by all the enemies I've made.
I thought that was strange, too. I didn't feel like typing it, but I thought that was strange, and I was hoping that
she said she had that on her email signature.
Yeah.
Normal people put, like, Maya Angelou quotes, or, like, nothing at all.
Nothing.
She put, judge me by all the enemies I've made.
That's a strange
that
one
to make.
That is
an interesting
That's how you
note.
Want, that's the quote of your life.
Negative energy. Like, totally. What? Totally. But yet, she's the one wearing flowers on her head.
So Joe goes on a tour
mm-hmm.
there, and he videotapes it. And the cages are small. I wanted to point out.
Oh, wait. One more thing before that. Before they go to Carol's cages. Yeah. Doc is talking shit about her workers, too. And he's saying that she gets young teenagers to come work for her for free.
So
which is so hypocritical.
Yeah.
So hypocritical. Because he pays his in what? Unconsensual sex.
Boob jobs.
And boob jobs. And stupid fake Party City leotards.
Yeah.
No thanks. And cockroach sandwiches. Goodbye. But he was making fun of Carol for getting teenagers to come work for free. But anyway. What were you saying?
Joe goes on a tour there. And he videotapes it. And the cages are certainly small.
Mm-hmm.
Then he rents a helicopter. I mean, they're small.
He said there's only 12 cats on the tour.
Yeah, where are the rest?
When she brags about the rest. And he said something funny about weird. It's like a bunch of weird trees in a weird jungle. I can't find my notes. Joe rented a helicopter. Weird jungle and a mess of trees, he says.
A mess of trees. Yeah.
And only 12 cats. And then he rents this helicopter.
He rents a helicopter.
And Travis and John are there.
They look like...
They're having fun.
They're having
a lot of fun. Life.
They're really having fun. They were having so much fun. I just wonder what they were doing.
Travis always looks like he's, like, half geeking.
He is always just having the time of his life.
There is one scene in this episode where there's, like, a little blip of, like, him on the couch with Joe, and Joe's got some little baby cub. And it looked like Travis was, like, watching TV, but he was, like, rocking, and his eyes were, like, really big, and his mouth was open, and he looked like he was just geeking the fuck out.
All right, so he's lit.
Yeah, they're lit in the helicopter.
It was sad, though, because...
The one.
The tiger.
Do you even believe that?
Has had seizures.
Carol alleged.
No, you know what? I don't believe it.
She alleged that this one cat got seizures from any motorized sounds. So
right. That's
maybe
kind
that's
of
why
weird.
You don't mow your lawn.
Yeah.
But she alleged and like put it on her Facebook that the helicopter hovering over, which very well could have given a cat a seizure, I guess.
I guess, but did it?
But the video was like a cat chilling.
Yeah, like it wasn't a real video. It was definitely
It wasn't a cat having a seizure, which I don't know if I want to see.
Yeah, I just... then John Finley tells us that Joe talked about dropping grenades from the helicopter, which is kind of weird.
Oh, yeah. That's another insight into his paranoia, I think.
Yeah. John Finley just kind of casually said...
Not John's paranoia, but Joe's.
Yeah, but he said...
He was talking crazy shit.
He has had some bad ideas.
He was talking some weird shit.
He was just talking about dropping grenades
but
from the helicopter.
It also could be the meth.
Well,
if they were taking a lot of meth.
If they're on meth, allegedly, if they're on meth.
You get a little paranoid, like in that episode of Intervention. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Remember her?
No, I
she
don't.
Wore the poker visor.
Oh, stop it.
And the bangly. Anyway,
yeah.
We'll talk about her later.
Dirty Deeds.
Done dirt cheap. She was one of my very favorites on Intervention. But she had, like, meth psychosis. And she got really super paranoid. But, yeah, I could see that maybe being a pattern.
Yeah.
My next note was a liger weighs 900 pounds.
That's, yeah, they're big.
They go to Doc and the liger shit, and he's like, don't call them ligers. And then he's rolling like, around with one.
Ligers.
And then he says something so controlling to China.
What?
He's like on camera rolling around with the liger.
Oh my God, I know.
And he says, well, the chain hasn't been cleaned, so now my shirt's ruined.
He said it hasn't been cleaned properly.
Properly. And he glares at China. And then he, like, shrugs it off because he's on camera still. But she looks like her head down.
You have to keep
the chain has not been cleaned properly, so now my shirt's ruined.
You have to keep the chain clean?
Newsflash, your shirt's ugly.
Newsflash, your chain is outside. You're walking a fucking tire. Outside.
Yeah, and
the chain is a little bit dirty, bud.
Maybe buy your girl some more...
The fucking tire.
Like... classy outfits. He buys them the cheapest looking outfits.
They probably all have UTIs because they're wearing really short shorts that I know.
Can you imagine?
Every day?
In the heat? Does he buy their underwear?
In the heat? They're in Myrtle Beach. It's humid.
Ugh. Like, what are their shower conditions if they're living in horse stalls?
Apparently they have their own houses now.
Well, I wrote, he really disturbs me. And then that part where he's like, you're leading me down a road to explain that you have to start a fucking cult fucking raise tigers. That's exactly what you have to do, Doc.
He's so amped up.
I don't want to hear it. You make me want to punch you.
Just make me sick. So Barb got implants.
We talked about that.
It happens now, but we skipped ahead before she gets implants. She finally got to sleep. You know, they're a fucking cult. Joe hires crackheads off the side of the road. Did you catch that?
I said Joe hires people without a lot of options.
Did you notice that woman that he hired?
Well, none of them have teeth. And
yeah, but they were like clearly like she like, looked, they just met at like a gas
station. I felt
station.
Really sad because she looked like she did. She was not the type that would want to work on a big cat ranch.
She does not know what's going on. He said at the burger place.
And she was like crying, kind of.
Because she was so thankful. They made it seem like.
But I thought she looked sad, very sad. But he was like, you don't have any other options, do you? She was like, had her arms crossed, and I thought she looked like she was crying.
I mean, I think she was just high. I think she
probably
was
probably desperate. Do you think that... I don't know. I feel like there's a weird drug part of that ranch going on. Like, maybe if he's a...
I don't know.
I don't want to allege anything, but maybe hypothetically, if he were to supply the drugs,
I mean,
then
I
they
think, that's...
think about being on meth. You wanna do shit.
Yeah.
So maybe you'll want to run a fucking cat ranch for 12 hours.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's like Animal Crossing.
You're on meth?
On meth.
I want to... Go try it
I mean,
out.
If I was on meth, I'd probably want to do that too.
Yeah. You know.
Especially if you already had an addiction coming in.
Just run around with a shovel.
Just run around.
In a net.
I mean, it's probably a lot grimier and disgusting than that, but yikes. These are people that are desperate, right? That's what I wrote. People that don't have a lot of options. It only pays $138.26 a week, Cowie says. And then they eat off the meat truck.
They eat off the meat truck. And they were showing, like, bologna and...
Yeah, that was
just
gross.
Everything.
That was really gross. A lot of expired meat. And then it goes to your boy describing the mobile homes.
Ew. That looked like a crack den. It had rats.
It's four mobile homes.
It looks like those homes on Intervention when they roll up on the person and they have been, like, just living in a little crack shed.
Yeah.
And they show what they look like.
It was terrible. The sinks didn't work. There's only one window unit, and this is, like, in Oklahoma, I guess. Your boy, Kirkham, who might exaggerate, he said that 120 degrees it got in those little mobile homes, which I believe, actually.
I don't know about that.
In the middle of summer.
I don't know about all that.
No, like, running water.
I mean, maybe he's right.
No laundry unit. How do they wash their clothes?
They don't.
They
don't wash their clothes.
Rats. A lot of rats. They were, like, laughing about it.
I
and they, like...
Live.
It looked like a hoarder's room.
It was in the drawer. That's where their clothes are.
And they
are.
Were laughing.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. And then I said, why is Carol always riding around on bikes?
I noted that, too. What is she doing?
They always cut to her riding around on a bicycle. Like, all peacefully looking.
Because they're foreshadowing.
She said, I was looking for someone to tell me what to do. Oh, that's Barbara, not Carol. Oh, God. I need a break before I talk about this.
No, wait, what?
The part about...
Because we're almost done.
Lakshma, the tiger.
Yeah, I made a note, too. Love Lakshma. I think he got murked or sold. I don't know. It was kind of vague.
It was really sad because Barbara was, like, describing that she had, like, this very close connection to this tiger called Lakshma. And she, like... She was very gentle and, like, she followed his lead and trusted... He trusted her a lot. And I guess... I don't know if she went off... she went rogue on, like, how you train a... How to train a tiger, but...
How to train your dragon.
She, like, did, I think, like, use, like, yoga concepts and was, like, really peaceful with him and, like, really connected with him. And they had, like, all these cuts of, like, her swimming when, like, in pools with him. And then she was, like, that's what, like, kind of turned it around for me because... Something happened to Lakshma, and they asked her what, and she's like,
they didn't ask.
They didn't ask because, like, he would just say, like, something happened to them, and she didn't want to know, and it reminded me of Mom's story about the dog disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
and then it cuts to, like, somebody saying that an adult tiger is nothing more than a bill. And then it cuts to that guy saying that Doc euthanizes adult tigers, allegedly.
Yeah.
And then... Sorry.
Ow. Sorry. They said that he kills his cubs. Oh, no.
Here comes Lee. Where are we going to wrap it up?
He said that he kills his cubs when he's done with them. Well, the last thing is this. We learned that Carol's husband has been dead and or missing for years and that she inherited his money. That's what they ended on.
Yeah, it cuts to this guy named Mark McCarthy, and he's like, all her shit's bullshit. She got all those millions from her missing dead husband. and that's Leroy. She inherited millions from her missing / dead / who the fuck knows what happened to him husband. And then they say, like, cut to a bunch of different people saying, I heard you got eaten by tigers. Yeah, that's what happens. That's the teaser. Hey, bud.
Hey, buddy.
Leroy is in Pillow Town.
Our pod loft looks like a pillow studio.
It kind of looks like a slumber party.
That's where we're recording tonight.
I hope it sounds better, you guys.
I hope so, too.
I mean, you can rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah, you should probably do that on Apple Podcasts or
Apple. You've never said.
I can never say podcast. Apple Podcasts. You can listen to it or
Spotify.
Spotify
or Anchor,
Stitcher.
Anchor, Stitcher, Breaker.
No way.
Uh huh. There's eight platforms. Casts, a bunch of casts.
All right, Leroy, you can't walk through the middle.
All right, we gotta go.
Then we're gonna get a grip.
All right. what do you want to say?
Guys, bye.
Hey, bye.